que cumples plans. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight, we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening. Welcome to Hope is Alive. And are you there, Brother Ralph?
I am. Good evening.
Great.
Warm and balmy Ozark region.
Well, great. Well, we'll turn it over to you. I'll be here for your callers.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Pastor Cox, how are we this evening?
I am blessed. Ralph, how about yourself? I've heard that you're blessed as well.
I am blessed and full of the Holy Spirit and joyfully thankful for this day, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice in it. Here we are, another Wednesday, and we're back on air, and we just want to thank everybody for joining us. And before we get into tonight's broadcast, I do want to remind everyone out there that we do have another gathering of trained men for deliverance coming up in August 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. It would not be necessary for you to be there all the days. If you are able to, fantastic. But if you're interested in deliverance or interested in being trained in deliverance, be sure to get a hold of us at info@deliveranceusa.com. We'll give you the information of where we'll be meeting. It's going to be an amazing weekend. It always is for us, and we expect miracles. We have... It'll be a 2-year anniversary coming up, the first time that a group of us men came to Oklahoma City and met Pastor Cox. And just want to real quick give a quick breakdown of what happened that day. One night we were sitting there in our motel room and we were praying, and we asked the Lord to let the revival for America begin right here in Oklahoma City and give us a sign. And that next morning we walked into a church that we had never been before in our lives. And a woman walked up to us and said, Gentlemen, I'm to tell you that the revival begins in Oklahoma City. And here's your
sign. Hallelujah.
The word given to you from the Lord. And this is part of that training, part of that thing, with something even bigger coming up in August of 2018. So if you want to be part of that, you feel the move of the calling to do more and work with the Lord and do more and be able to help set this nation free, please get a hold of us at info@deliveranceusa.com and someone will be in touch with you. Pastor, how many deliverances do you have this Monday?
Well, it was a light Monday. We only had 8 cases. We had, of course, extra ministers. We had 20 the Monday before. Richard Peterson, we were visiting this earlier today, and he had tallied up our average, and we were nevertheless averaging 61 a month. And while that's not a lot considering the need, at least it's some dent on it, and we're getting more and more people. Even of the cases we had Monday night, we had one from out of state. So that's becoming almost the norm now, that there's usually somebody from out of state. And, of course, some drive or fly quite a distance. It is surprising how in most states in the country, there's very few people doing this type of ministry, this works of Jesus that sets them free of all kinds of problems in their lives, you know, the fear and the anger and the depression and addictions, and often in one evening of ministry. And the list goes on and on. We have a list on our website called the Problem List, and you can go there and pull up that 2-page list of problems that we have over these years seen to be the actual names of demons. While we'll have normal levels of a certain number of those problem areas, when something is overboard and out of balance, reoccurring and tormenting, as we've seen, it's certainly suspicious at that point, and well worth ministering. And more times than not, we find out there is an evil spirit when it meets that category. And most people unload around 36. I did have an interesting case Monday night of the few that we had. I did one, and someone from Oklahoma here. And we went through the usual steps of the door-closing prayer, an interview, breaking of ungodly soul ties, which is, we found evil spirits will come through those soul, bad soul ties. And then the inner healing, where Jesus comes in and heals the feelings attached to certain events of the past. And this man was able to, the Lord showed him a few things that happened right around when he was first going to grade school. And things that you know, just as a parent or anyone observing, you wouldn't think it to be any big deal. But one of them was when it was time for him to go to the first time to school, he had to ride a bus to grade school, you know, the first grade. And he was saying that his mom saw how fearful he was, but she said, well, I'll follow the bus in the car for a ways. To try to comfort him. Well, as he looked out of the bus, he couldn't see his mom's car. And it left him, it's almost silly to talk about it, but to a little 6 or 7 year old, it was not. And it was a major trauma that left him with feelings of fear and feelings of rejection and abandonment, depression, and emotional pain and heartache and despair. Again, you wouldn't think it would be a big deal, but it is to a child so many times. And he carried those wounds, those bad feelings, all his life. I would guess him to be maybe, I never did ask him, but he was probably about 40 years old or so, maybe 35. But he'd carried them all those years, those, and been having panic attacks, and they were rooted in something that simple. He had another couple of little incidences. Again, to the observer, you wouldn't think of it as a trauma, but again, he did. And so when our Jesus took those bad feelings in the inner healing, at once he identified them, he gave those bad feelings over to Jesus. Jesus took them, and that pulled the rug out from under the demons. A certain number of demons, he felt them go, he told me. He had some yawns and all, but he felt them depart. A lot of them, he said, came right out of his heart area. And so when I finally, after the inner healing, it was time to work and come against spirits. One of the techniques we do is called the head demon technique. And I tried for the head demon, and he was able to hear it. And it turned out to be the destroyer, which, by the way, I see as the most common head demon. You know, it figures that would be high ranking. They all come to steal, kill, and destroy. And destroyer just is so often the heavy, the big guy, the big demon. And so as I interrogated the destroyer, most people, you know, as I mentioned, will have about three dozen demons. This, when I said, how many demons are under your authority, it said four. Well, that was kind of a flag, so I kept interrogating, and I said, well, how many demons did Michael come in with this evening when he first came? And it said 30. Or 34, I guess it was. Yeah, 34. So 30 had gone in that what we did earlier with the soul ties, the inner healing, and there was only four left when I got the head demon was still there. And, of course, we went on ultimately when I made sure they didn't have any remaining legal rights, no door still open, no satanic assignments that had not been canceled. It did give me the top 10 lies that had been speaking in his head. I wrote those down for him on the yellow tablet. And then it also gave his God-given gifts, and he was very loaded with gifts. And the demon even admitted, I even asked it, is this why you've been fighting him so? And, of course, they always say yes. The more gifts a Christian has, the more the demons are on assignment to take them out. So it was a great deliverance. He had a leg come out nearly an inch short on the right and just shot out when we commanded adjustment. I was holding his shoes up, looking at that short leg, and that was exciting. I had a couple of trainees sitting in with me, and they got to observe that. And he already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues, but it was a great deliverance. And, of course, he looked wonderful. He felt wonderful, and there's no way he wouldn't be better. I haven't talked to him yet, but he's obviously overhauled.
Well, praise God. Here's a man who was tormented for the vast majority of his life with fear and anxiety over what something that was a traumatic event in his life. And these traumatic events can happen, and some can be what we would appear to be silly, think was silly, and some are very, very, very true, real, that most would agree with real traumatic experiences, such as maybe a sexual molestation or something like that. But those demons will play on that fear. And that fear enters in there, and they play. And there's no telling the voices he was hearing, the lies that he was being told his whole life about that. So it was praise God that he found out someone talked to him about deliverance, and he was able to be set free from that.
And, Ralph, I might also inject, his wife had separated from him because of these problems that he's been having all these years. And so that was pretty exciting to see him now overhauled from those problems that had about to ruin his marriage. So I'm believing they will be getting back together.
Well, praise God on that, because there's a lot of times people think, well, they just can't control the flesh or kind of, hey, just get over it. And sometimes some people are able to just kind of get over it, but other times they're just tormented. And And this is because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And part of the destroying is they lie to him. They lie to him, and anxiety is definitely a real issue with a lot of people in this world today. And we know that Jesus will take those feelings because he says, cast your cares upon him. And that yes. is part of your cares, those negative, tormenting feelings. So that's just an amazing testimony right there, absolutely amazing testimony. So we get a chance. I know I talked to you a little bit earlier today, but I came across a customer who just become a friend. I know her family, and I was talking with her yesterday, and she's been going through a lot of trials right now, a lot of torment, and has confided in me that she has actually kind of fallen away from the church because her words were, well, prayer just doesn't seem to be working. And I did my best to witness to her about how a lot of times when it's the enemy, you can't pray the enemy away, that you need to command it away. And I thought if we had some time tonight, maybe we could kind of expand on that. I know we had the one caller calling in, but I think we just have the one tonight. So I thought, if all possible, and I believe who is calling in is one of your team leaders. Is that correct?
Yes. Linda, is that you?
I don't think she's on yet.
No callers yet.
Okay.
Oh.
But I was thinking that,
okay.
that we could possibly, Pastor, kind to expand on that a little bit about how we're not talking about just normal trials that have come in our life, but we're talking about things that seem to be there over and over and over, a torment of the enemy, why praying doesn't work, and we have to take control over it, we have to command it away. I did my best to explain it as it's been explained to me about when it's the devil, we're told to resist him. We're not told to pray to Jesus to resist him for us.
Well, yes, and the scriptures are very clear. Jesus said, like in Mark 16:17, he said, believers are to cast out devils or evil spirits, and that's in my name, he said. He's not saying to pray to the Father for the Father to do something about it. He's telling believers to do it in his name. Jesus gave us the power of attorney. As when he arose to sit on the right hand of the Father, he gave us this power of attorney to speak in his name. It's hard to, you know, we've all grown up praying for the something. But yet, the scriptures nevertheless are there and very clear that we are to speak in his name. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth in me, okay, did you get that? He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And so he checked out on us. He's gone. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's given us this power to speak in his name. He's given us the commands to do it. And so when we do it, guess what? It works. And Monday night, those 8 cases we did, I can assure you, none of the teams were praying to the Father in Jesus' name to take these problems away from the person. Rather, they were doing exactly what we did, just commented on the scriptures. They were commanding these possible spirits to come out. Again, you tend to know them by the name of the problem. So if a person's locked up with fear, then you would be addressing it that way. You spirit of fear, in Jesus' name, come out. You're commanding. And it works. And once the teams, none of the teams would pray to the Father in Jesus' name. They are all there on a Monday night commanding possible evil spirits to come out.
Well, one of the ways I explain it to her is the way Brother Jim had explained it to us one time is I've commanded my son to mow the lawn. I want that lawn to never grow above 4 or 5 inches, and it's his job to do it. And my son can go out there with the mower, and he can stand out there, and he can pray all day for me to come out and mow that lawn. He can bring all of his friends together in a circle great, join hands and pray that I'll come out and mow that lawn. But the commission was given to my son to mow the lawn. Now, yes. If there seems to be a problem, maybe my son doesn't understand how to operate the mower or doesn't understand possibly where to get the gas or anything, then he can appeal to the Holy Spirit and not the Father itself, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me in this. We need your help. I need your help in this because I don't understand it. So it is a great thing that we are given that power and authority, but we were also told when Jesus left, I will not leave you alone. I will send my helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. So we have that helper to help us when we don't understand, and he can show and teach us where we need to do it. But as it goes, I'm not going to mow the lawn because I commanded my son to mow the lawn. And I do believe we have Linda on the line. Linda, are you there?
I am. Yes.
Oh, hi, Linda.
Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Thank you for the thank you for the short notice, Linda, calling in. Can you hear me okay?
It sounds a little very far away. I'm wondering if I shouldn't dial this direct and get a better connection. I wonder if that would help.
You're coming clear on my end.
You're okay.
You
maybe,
okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Can you understand me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Linda,
I hear better.
Again, all right. Thank you for the short notice of calling. And it occurred to me, I know you've had some interesting cases. Linda is one of our experienced, seasoned team leaders with Deliverance Ministries, Inc. in Oklahoma City. And Linda, how many years have you helped us now?
Well, let's see. Probably came down to City Church maybe 2006, 2007.
Okay.
Shortly, just a few months after Richard and Mary Jo had been coming. So, somewhere around there. But the Lord called me into Deliverance Ministry back in 1978, and your ministry just helped transform just amazing, much easier, and so many more tools to really help meet the needs of people who had generational curses and at birth and through their years being raised, assignments of demons that got attached to them. The Holy Ghost just expounded you with ministry to help teach us.
Oh, that's awesome. So the Lord had put it on you early to seek helping the hurting people out there. You must have read some of those scriptures. We were talking about them earlier, like Mark 16:17 and John 14:12 and others, where Jesus did this kind of ministry. In fact, it's some people have sat down and figured out how much time he spent casting out evil spirits, and it seems to be around a third of his time. So, and then he told us to do his same works in his name. So it's pretty clear what we are to be doing. Of course, we're to bring people to salvation, etc. But anyway, that's interesting that you had a interest in learning to do this early on. Well, Linda, when did you really start ministering as a team leader?
Again, probably 2006, following Mary Jo and Richard down there, just being the Holy Ghost was just leading me to get more involved and use the gifts that he was blessing me with and just get back to using those gifts and learning more. So I'm going to say probably around 2006, somewhere around there down at City Church, just jumped right in and hunger.
And you seldom miss a Monday night. You're usually always there, I've noticed. So, uh-huh. So you've been doing a lot of deliverance over this many years. Well, Linda, maybe you could share some of the cases you've had that are interesting. I know you've had some pretty good ones lately, some exciting ones. Could you share some of that with us?
Well, it seems that Christians that are active in their church, there's a hunger that's just swelling up within their bellies, and the ones I have gotten, they're hungering to get out, get rid of anything holding them back or hindering. And mm-hmm. the last two, that's what they have wanted to do the most. And so through your ministry, you've taught us how to go back to conception and then work the process up through their growing years, but also generational. I'm amazed every time the generational passed down spirits, assignments, whatever you would call them, that come up in the ones who come. An example, just this past Monday night, she had been reading her Bible, doing all that she knew to do, but she came because she said, there's just something missing. I cannot get victory. Well, we went back and asked any assignments to name themselves. We asked generational curses from ancestors to tell her how far back. And it was real clear. They said 1,000 years.
Wow. Yeah. So, and yet that's not all that long
really
in the
amazed.
Spirit world. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the fact is, probably most everybody's got some of that. Even 1,000 years back, when you think about it, unless it's been canceled out and broken specifically, those curses are usually there, and demons are operating through those curses to steal, kill, and destroy in a Christian's life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else happened with her?
Well, we went back. She did not really know her ancestry, so we encouraged her to seek the Lord this week, and the Holy Spirit would reveal things to her. But what came to her mind that she had forgotten since she was a little girl was that she had a great-great-grandmother that had been, she did not know what Indian tribe, but she had married a white man, and so there had been family feuding from that. And so we broke the curses and judgments that was sent her great-great-grandmother's way, and she was amazed at how she, too, felt lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, praise God. And that's a typical comment we hear, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel lighter. Yeah. Well, do you remember anything else that happened during that ministry session?
Well, she has a lot of worldly people connected that she's having to pray for and forgive, and it involves a messy custody case of her child, and so it's lawyers and judges. And so we basically taught her, giving her tools on how to pray effectively in warfare to come against lies mm-hmm. to your mind, because she was getting pretty beat down of what kind of person she was, and it was all just things coming in her mind, telling her how she was. And so in our prayers of lies to your mind, canceling them, calling them out, sending them to the feet of Jesus, she started feeling self-worth. She started feeling there was hope and that she was not the bad person these voices was telling her she was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very exciting.
And Linda, that's on everybody, I believe, because we always find it when I get a demon up, as you do when you can interrogate and find out about the lies. The case I had, I got the top 10 lies. I got the head demon up, the destroyer, and I wrote down the top 10 lies that was speaking into his head. And the guy admitted later that he was hearing that in his head. And the demon, when I asked it about it, I said, is he buying into your lies? And it said he was. It was real proud of itself, in fact, that it was doing such a good mission with lies, that he was buying the lies as the truth. And so after then the demon admitted they were lies, and I said, well, that means the opposite is the truth. And it said, yes. So after the deliverance, I took the lies. I showed him on the yellow tablet the lies, and I went through them one at a time, reversing them. The opposite was the truth. And that'll make a guy feel better right off, because he heard the demon say that the opposite was the truth, that they were lies. So what's the opposite? So it was exciting. And but I think that lie program is on every Christian, and that's why so many people are so pounded down. They're buying those lies and accepting them as the truth, and they think it, a lot of them, it's their own thoughts, but it's actually coming right from that deceiving demon, the lie, demons of lies. So, man, it's all over the place.
Can you remember some more things? A part that we were breaking off on her, because the lie she was buying into was causing her to be so broken down inside herself, but also oppression, depression.
Yeah.
Both of those were coming in to where she could not function the way she needed to function so that she would continue on showing that she is a good mom and that she's raising her son correctly. So she walked out straighter and feeling love to herself.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. She's learning who she really was. And, you know, that we give those I Ams out, as Scriptures of America does. Scriptures for America gives out the I Ams, or groupings of scriptures of who we are in Jesus. And I've had demons tell me when I'm interrogating about the lies that they're having a hard time getting the person to buy their lies because the person is standing on the truth of the word too much. And so when you think about it, if we really do learn the scriptures of who we are in Jesus, accept that as a truth, we're not going to buy the lies.
Yes.
What else can you share, Linda, that you've experienced that case or others?
Well, lately it's been probably mostly the generational and ancestors. It has been where the Holy Ghost speaks to them, and they are just amazed at how the Lord impresses to them greater healing. I probably haven't had a case lately where I've had to call on the Jesus angels to hold anybody, but I have had to call on the Jesus angels to help pull out hatred of someone who did them wrong. And that is a process for them to truly surrender and make a decision. Yes, I want the Jesus angels to help get this out of me. Lord, I need you to help me all the way, be able to look at them where I do not take hatred back and I do not take anger back. And so that's, again, a wonderful process. And you give the breakdown how we do that. So we just follow it, the steps, one, two, three. The ladies that I sat in with on this one case just this past Monday, it was awesome seeing them work the teaching just as they've been taught. And they followed it just to the T. And so they said, now afterwards, tell us what we need to improve. And so I had to tell them, you've got to keep your eyes open.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as people have their iniquities leaving, like hatred and anger, destroyer, the face changes. And like this lady, her face would be, it would get real gray, like death gray. And then as each spirit left, it would get lighter. And she literally had wrinkles disappear in her face.
Oh, that's awesome. And quite common, actually.
It is.
In the majority of cases.
Don't close your eyes. You're missing what God's doing with
you. Yeah, yeah. I had to say the same thing Monday night. I had two trainees sitting in with me, and I had to finally tell them, keep your eyes open. You're missing the action. And especially when, of course, they came over, when I did the limb check, and then this guy had his right leg about three-quarters of an inch short. It was real clear, and, you know, looking at the heels of his shoes. And I had him look over my shoulder and open the eyes, but and they saw it come out, which is always a tangible example of the power of the Holy Spirit. But yeah, I've you learn pretty quick as a deliverance minister to keep your eyes open and to watch what's going on, and instead of the old traditional way of praying with your eyes closed, you wouldn't find any of our team leaders sitting there praying with their eyes closed.
No. Again, that's through your teaching that, you know, you've got to see what those demons are doing, and they do move within their face or even within their body. Like one a couple of weeks said, you know, there's something moving up in me. I feel it. And I said, that's all right. Let's put the Bible right here at your waist and just have it up and out. Got to go. Can't stay in Jesus' name. And so they press to really do that. The ones that are coming, they really mean business.
Yes, they're learning good. And you might explain that touching in the Bible some, Linda. Some of the listeners may not be familiar with it.
Well, these are ladies, our lady, and so we are, an example would be calling out hatred, particularly if they've had bad relationships, husband, bad relationship, divorce. And so in getting that anger up and out, which is a demonic anger, they will sometimes hurt, stomach cramps, and it's there at the belt. And so we'll apply the Bible, and then we move the Bible up, saying, anger, you've got to go. Anger, you've got to go up and out in Jesus' name. And we have the person say that also, repeating that up and out, it's got to go, can't stay. And sometimes they have to call on the Jesus angels to help them, because the enemy comes right in and puts in their mind, tearing them down, like, you deserve it. Or like the lady will say, well, maybe I did do wrong. Maybe I did deserve to be beat up. And that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Nobody deserves to be beat up, not ever. And so we call on the Jesus angels to help them, and Jesus wrapping their arms around them. And sometimes it takes over 5 minutes for that to get up and out and come out. And then when it does, we do the inner healing, and they just totally transform. The look on their face is an encounter with just a love that passes all understanding, and a peace. Wrinkles go. I mean, it's like a facial makeover.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, at our other location, there was a mirror on the wall, and quite often I would have people go over at the end of the session and have them look at themselves in the mirror, because we get to see the transition take place compared to when they came in, and when we finish, they look like another person sometimes. And like you say, wrinkles seem to disappear. They look younger. Week before, I ministered to a 67-year-old woman, and I told her at the end she looked like a teenager. I mean, she was vivacious and just flowing, and, you know. And a scriptural reference also to using the angels, if people are not familiar with that, because I didn't understand it for a long time. I thought, well, we'd have to go through the Godhead to have the angels help us, but Hebrews 1:14 was finally pointed out to me that God's angels are to be of service to the heirs of salvation. And we, being joint heirs with Jesus, we can call on the angels directly. And that's an awesome thing to get hold of. And, of course, the demon, just like the case Monday night, the demons could see the angels. They always can, circled around. I usually ask them, how many? Are their swords drawn? And they say yes, and so forth, and intimidates them. I never had to use the angels to discipline that destroyer Monday night, because they were so intimidated with the angels with their swords drawn. they moved right along as I commanded it. Well, it's high adventure, isn't it, Linda?
That is an awesome tool.
I was saying, amen.
It
is exciting to watch how they, your command, they just flow. It seems easy. You've done it so many years. But speaking myself, I keep working to get the process like how you have it, because they just, when you command them to go, they're going. That's just how it goes.
And, you know, using the Bible, a reference to that is, the Bible is a sword. Ephesians 6:17 talks about the word being a sword. And then, 1 Corinthians 10:4, where the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what it's like to these demons. They don't want to hear the word. They don't want to hear the name of Jesus. They don't want to hear about the blood of Jesus. These are all weapons of warfare, anointing with oil, praying in tongues. All of those tend to drive them out. But having a Bible handy, I keep a small Bible with me on Monday nights, and when I minister, and I often hand that small one. I have a larger one that I keep as well, but I give them the small one with the instructions to touch the Bible on their body as they feel those demons moving, and to chase it with the Bible, because the demons will run from the Bible when you touch on your body.
Yes.
If you feel something in your stomach touched with the Bible there, the next thing you know, they've moved up or somewhere. And chase them out. And sure enough, the person will be sitting there with a Bible in their hand, and they're moving it all around, finally up on their chest, you know, and up in their neck sometimes, top of their head, and then finally the demon goes. So it's another weapon of warfare, praise God. Well, any other thing to share that you think of, Linda? You're the only caller we have tonight, so we have.
Speaking on how the demons will move around in the body, that's very true, and it's just it's exciting to see how the Bible, the Word, gets this movement in someone's body. And watching it come up and out, knowing it's very real, and truly greater is the Lord in them than he that's in the world. But I was brought to my, what I was thinking was so many women, they are just from the time of 1 year up, sometimes suffer so much verbal abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, that they get many, many soul fragments broken off from their soul. And the Lord will impress upon me that to speed up their healing and help their healing, bring their soul into one. And the ladies will share, well, Everett covered that in the door closing prayer, and I felt better, but I still feel like I need maybe a little bit more. So we will pray for the Holy Spirit to come in and bring all the hidden soul fragments that still might be hiding, bring them together to join each other. And that is really a spiritual, you just can't explain it. You have to see the transformation that comes when all of the, for lack of words, the English, you just say all the hurts and all the abuse that has
and they wind up with a restored soul, like in the 23rd Psalm, a restored soul.
You just have to see it to really get the full meaning. It's nearly indescribable because it's spiritual. It's God comes in, Holy Spirit, and all the tears flow, and they rejoice, and ladies with big smiles of knowing that, yes, they are somebody, and Jesus loves them.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes. There's something really special in healing. When Jesus speaks, healing comes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, the person on the street,
you know, it's
Linda,
worth
would...
saying that. It's just something you have to see it. Their faces glow. And when they leave, you immediately can say, you know, you have had an overhaul because you don't even look like you did.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
It's just awesome.
Amen. How blessed we are to have a part in this. And the person on the street generally would not have any idea about all this taking place as a routine matter. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be much more of it because we're dropping the bucket compared to the need. And there's so many states that don't seem to have anybody doing this, and so we got a long ways to go. And I can't help but think how Jesus is kind of disappointed when he, after 2,000 years, that we are not running with a ball more than we are. We're not doing his commands like this in his name as he commanded us to do. So. Yeah, we got a ways to go, but we're working on it, and we're getting the word out. And my book is available, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, that has these steps in it. If a listener is interested, it's available through Scriptures for America. And we have a lot of stuff on our website, deliveranceusa.com, and you can go to Ministry Tools. There's all kinds of information on this type of ministry, but also there's 4 hours of of video teaching and actual ministry. We get reports of people that had demons leave them by just going through the video teaching and ministry that's on the website. That's under self-ministry. Again, the website is deliveranceusa.com. Belinda, anything else to say before we wind up
well,
here?
Well, I was going to say, when you were saying that, I've had probably four ladies, I'll ask them, how did you hear about us? And they have bought into, they were just sick and tired of hearing so many lies, and they knew they were being demonized. Things were dark. And they went to the computer, and they typed out, they were in Oklahoma, they typed in demons, and your ministry popped up.
Mm-hmm.
I had four ladies tell me the same thing. Your ministry popped up, and that's what brought them on Monday night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what hopefully is happening with the website. I'll go one more step that still blows me away. I have had people call the ministry phone line and say that the Lord told them to go to Deliverance Ministries, and they found it in the phone book. And I remember another case, a woman said, the Lord gave me this phone number. So I tell you what, as I often say, that puts a lot of responsibility on us to do the job right. We better be...
Right.
Responsible for and doing the works of Jesus as he would have us to do them.
Right.
Well, Linda, anything else to say to the people before we close down here?
Well, anybody listening that is feeling a Holy Ghost unction to be about the Father's business, I encourage them to come and learn on Monday night, set in, go through seeing all the works that Jesus does and feel freedom, but also receiving the power that comes from Jesus for this day, and not miss out, because there is a revival coming. Prophets are everywhere declaring how the Lord is bringing about a new revival coming, and I want to be in that.
Hallelujah.
So I challenge everyone.
Amen.
Get on board. It's a big ship.
Amen. Yes.
thank you so much, Linda.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Have yourself.
And I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited. Okay, good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
And as Linda said, if you are interested in being trained and want to attend this gathering that we're putting together for men in August 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, you can give us an email at info@deliveranceusa.com. Give us your information, and someone will get back to you. Now, I want to add to what talked about how people feel lighter or they feel younger. There's one thing that's in Scripture, Luke 11:46, but he said, woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh down with burdens, weigh men down with burdens hard to bear. Now, we get burdens are put on us in the physical and spiritual, because we know that demons are very legalistic, and they will weigh us down heavily. And you can see that heaviness and depression that's on people. I could see that on my customer yesterday when I walked in. I could just see it upon her. But the reason that people feel lighter is Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, this is Jesus talking, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Praise the Lord on that. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when the yoke of Satan, the yoke of demons, the yoke of trauma, the yoke of all these things that have come from the world are lifted off and we put on the yoke of Jesus, it's like taking a lead brick off your head and putting a helium balloon upon there. And I can testify to that, that you do feel lighter. I remember after my first deliverance, all the men were saying, "Ralph, you look 10 times younger." There was an absolute burden upon me at the time, and that yoke of Jesus is so light, and it gives rest for our soul. And just praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you for deliverance. Praise you for this work. And the enemy has done a job stealing this work from us. But that's why we're here, because the Lord gave us the vision and has led us all to this point here that's coming up in August 2018 to set this nation free. And if you want to be part of that, and you want to be part of the work, if you feel that call, let us know, because we will train you. We will train you. There are men, Pastor Cox has men. We have men with Scripture America that are trained in this. We are seasoned veterans. And,
amen.
And we're trained for war. The Lord gave us the hands trained for war, and these hands are trained. And we have a weapon called the Bible. We have the authority that's given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And these demons are going, and we're taking this country back for Jesus.
Amen and amen.
So praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And I always like listening to how Linda refers them to the Jesus angels. And when she first came on, I thought I was recognizing her voice and thought that's who that was. But when she says that, that is a wonderful tool. Because I knew that angels were there for service, but I always thought we had to go to the middleman to get them. Had to ask Jesus for them.
Right.
Well, I was the same way. No. There is no middleman. I gave you the commission. I mean, if we're going to judge them one day, how much more do we have them to render for service, to help?
Yes.
Whether it be for ministering, for guarding, for healing, and all these things that are in there in Scripture. And if it happened, one angel wiped out 185,000 people in one night, wiped them out. That's just one angel.
Mm-hmm.
That there's power in those angels that are there, and that we can put them to service. You know, they're not there to be our personal butler, but they're there for the work of service of Jesus Christ. And we can call them down to do that. I do it often. I put them on assignment to protect my family. I put them on assignment to guard my home, to guard my second home. I put them on assignment there to do those things. And guardian angels have been talked about for centuries. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Some people see them on occasion. And of course, the demons see them every time I get one up I can interrogate. The demons always see them circled around us. And I'll even on occasion have them point out, the head demon point out the meanest, most threatening looking angel, and it'll take the person's hand, and it's at a 45 degree angle, I've noticed. So these angels must really be tall.
Well, I believe we are just about out of time, Pastor. I'm looking at my clock there. So again, here we are, another Wednesday out of the way. Thank you for joining us.
Blessings to you. God bless.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Strong.